Hello and welcome to this service of the Word coming from St. Martin's Church, North Nibley, on this, the third Sunday of Easter. Welcome in the name of Christ. God's grace, mercy and peace be with you and also with you. We worship with Christians near and far, living and departed, old and young. God's word is for everyone, and may it be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Lord, speak to us that we may hear your word. Move among us that we may behold your glory. Receive our prayers that we may learn to trust you. Amen. The collect for today, third Sunday of Easter. Almighty God, who showeth to them that be in error the light of your truth, to the intent that they may return into the way of righteousness, grant unto all those that are admitted into the fellowship of Christ's religion that they may eschew those things that are contrary to their profession, and follow all such things as are agreeable to the same. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our first reading is from Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. That book which follows the first days and months and years, early years of life after Christ's death and resurrection. And this is Acts 14. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their numbers on that day. Here endeth the reading. Alleluia, alleluia, I am the first and the last, says the Lord, and the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Alleluia. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke, starting at chapter 24, verse 13. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, What are you discussing together as you walk along? They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? What things, he asked. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early in the morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it was just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he was going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it's nearly evening and the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and they returned at once to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Here endeth the gospel. Praise to you, O Christ. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be always acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. My general way of tackling my faith is that if I don't understand something, I write a sermon about it, because that then concentrates my mind and makes me research. And in my research, I came across a piece written by Richard Morgan in the Dursley Church newsletter, I think it was. And he's given me permission to use ideas from it, which I did in a very small way. So thank you, Richard. The disciples on the road to Emmaus recognised Christ through the breaking of the bread. And that's quite a simple statement until you stop and look into it. The two disciples, one of whom is named Cleopas, were walking away from Jerusalem. In fact, they probably weren't walking, they were probably running, because it was a very dangerous place to be in Jerusalem if you were connected to Jesus. It was only 3 days, as the Gospel said, since it all happened. A man who we know to be Jesus began walking with them. And Jesus walks with his followers even when they are confused, brokenhearted, and walking away from their mission. They were running away from Jesus like cowards, frightened that they too might be arrested and tortured and crucified. Presumably the Romans were still looking for the body from the tomb, and a bit of merciless torture might reveal it. But whatever they were running away, however they were running away, hiding their association with the Messiah, Jesus comes alongside them to comfort them. He knows that both they, like us today, are weak. And as far as Jesus is concerned, that's okay. Just like the woman at the tomb, the disciples are kept from recognising Jesus, showing that spiritual insight is given in God's time. God's hand is in everything, but his solutions are in his own time and not ours. Jesus explained to them how all scripture, Moses and the prophets, points to his death and glory, transforming their understanding. The disciples experience an emotional, spiritual awakening as Jesus explains the scriptures, and still not knowing who he is, asks him to stay with them overnight. During the evening meal, Jesus blesses the food and was revealed to them through the breaking of the bread. There it is again, that simple little phrase, breaking of the bread. And that breaking of the bread had the effect of revealing Christ to those disciples. I'm fairly sure that the 12 who were at the Last Supper hadn't hung around in Jerusalem to tell people like Cleopas about the first breaking of the bread at that meal. So maybe this term breaking of the bread is a lot deeper than it first seems. It was that act that opened the disciples' eyes to who this man was. Jesus is recognised in the breaking of bread, connecting the resurrection to the Eucharist, the community meal. And the experience turned their sorrow into action, leading them to return straight back to Jerusalem, to face the music and to bear witness rather than run away as they had been doing. As we well know, there are different ideas about what it said, what is said during the Eucharist or the Holy Communion meal. And there's been mentioned by one or two of our own congregation that the words, "this is my body," or "this is my blood," is alluding a bit too closely to the Catholic idea of transubstantiation, where the bread and wine actually transform into the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ. And one wonders where the many very early stories of vampires, black magic, or later persecution of witches and so on had their roots. The question for us is, what do we mean when we hear, "this is my body, which is given for you"? In the Gospels, Matthew says, "take and eat, this is my body." Mark says, "take it, this is my body." Luke, "this is my body given for you." John doesn't cover the aspect of that of the supper, but rather concentrates on the washing of the disciples' feet. But all four Gospels agree that Jesus blessed, broke bread and gave it. So at our Eucharist, it isn't just about the bread and wine. It's about the bread and wine has been blessed, broken and shared. And make no mistake about the fact that Christ is present in that bread and wine, in that we are sharing a remembrance of Jesus and his sacrificial death for us. That is how he is present in that wine. We are sharing together, like the disciples did, and we are sharing in the remembrance of Jesus and his sacrificial death for us. At the Eucharist, Jesus is present. He is there with us in our hearts and minds and souls, feeding us through the sacrificial death for us. And we, by receiving, are remade and confirmed as the body of Christ. We are all together the body of Christ. All Christians, past, present and future, are, through that act of sharing and remembrance, receiving the body and blood of Christ. We are receiving Christ into our lives and not, I don't know how to put this, we're not ingesting random bits of Christ. We are receiving Christ into our lives. He's there with us all the time, living our lives alongside us, loving us, through the Eucharist. Amen. Let us declare our faith in God. We believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And so we come to the part in our worship where we look at our ourselves with honesty and come before God to ask forgiveness for our wrongdoings and our sin. Lord God, we have sinned against you. We've done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoings and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore to us the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May God, who loved the world so much that he sent his Son to be our Saviour, forgive you your sins and make you holy to serve him in the world. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we pray our intercessions for those things that we need around the world, the wider world. Holy God, as we gather in fellowship and worship to hear your word, to sing your praise in the presence of the risen Christ, walk with us as individuals and as the Church of God on our road to Emmaus. Open our eyes as you did with Jesus' companions to the reality and the truth of the resurrection. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our ministry team in the benefice, lay and ordained, who preach the gospel, those who bring a light to those in darkness and words of love to those in need of comfort. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Creator God, your Son walked the roads and tracks of the Holy Land and taught us to seek your hand in the beauty and wonders of earth and sea and sky. We so often see too much of the evidence of poor stewardship in our surroundings, and it is very easy to forget that the world belongs to you. Help us to recognise your presence in our modern world and help us to use wisely the resources of the earth. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father God, we thank you for the gift of your Son, our Saviour, who walks with us on our life's journey. We pray for all who travel with us in our family, among our friends, and within this community. We pray for a deepening awareness of our need for one another and of your image in the hearts of everyone we meet. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving God, send your Son to walk with those we know who are going through a time of suffering and pain. Help us to always be aware of one another's needs and to respond accordingly and assist them with words and deeds on the road of recovery. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful God, accompany those travelling through the valley of death, and may our love and prayers and support be with those who walk that journey today, especially those from our own community. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Faithful God, as we go from our worship today out into your world, we thank you for walking alongside us wherever we travel. And if, like those first disciples, we fail to be aware of you, forgive us for our human weakness and open our eyes to see you as a constant companion and friend. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of thy Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. And we say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. The risen Christ came and stood among his disciples and said, "Peace be with you." Then were they glad when they saw the Lord. Alleluia. The peace of the Lord be always with each one of you, and also with you. Amen. And as we go and prepare to go out into the wide world to serve the Lord, faithful Lord, whose steadfast love never ceases, whose mercies never come to an end, grant us the grace to trust you and to receive the gifts of your love, new every morning, in Jesus Christ our Lord. The God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, make each one of you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and those that you love this day and forevermore. Amen. Thank you so much for being with me this morning. It's nice to be with you. And I'll be back very shortly, I'm sure. Have a good week. Bye-bye.